than by Ms. Malik.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
There are none.
Okay. For public comment, time has been allocated at the beginning of most board meetings for individuals to address the Smyrna School District Board on issues of general concern. Due to privacy requirements, no individual persons may be identified in an informal public comment. As a reminder, public comment session is for issues of general concern. If you have any concerns about the district's personnel, facilities, or service, you're welcome to share those concerns with the board in writing in accordance with the following board policies, which are listed on the district website. During the course of formal public comment, the Board of Education, at our discretion, may enter into executive session to hear matters of sensitive or private nature. Please remember that public comment is not a question and answer session. Each group should choose one representative to speak, and comments should be limited to no more than 5 minutes. All other individuals are limited to 3 minutes. Speakers may not cede their time to others. Speakers will be recognized by the board president in the order you signed up. We have a large number of people have signed up to speak. The board president, at her discretion, may limit the number of persons allowed to speak based upon the order of sign up. Our public comment session should not exceed 1 hour. Once your name is called for public comment, you will be unmuted and your camera will be enabled. Once you start to speak, your time begins. When your time is up, you'll be muted and your time will be turned off. And your camera will be turned off. Do we have anyone signed up for formal public comment?
You may.
Thank you. That takes us to the oath of office for Dr. Charlie Wilson. Are you ready, Mr. Wilson? I mean, Dr. Wilson.
Welcome to the poll, Master.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the State of Delaware.
The Constitution of the State of Delaware.
And the laws of Delaware govern public education.
The law of Delaware govern public education.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of office of school board member according to the best of my ability.
I will basically discharge the duties of the school board. That's my duty.
And I do further solemnly swear that I have not directly or indirectly been paid.
I do solemnly swear that I have not been directly or indirectly been paid.
Offered or promised to pay.
Offered or promised to pay.
Contributed or offered, promised to contribute.
Contributed or promised to contribute.
Any money or other valuable things.
Any money or other.
As considered or reward the giving or withholding of the vote at the election which I was elected to sit off.
As considered as promised.
As consideration or reward for giving or withholding.
Consideration or reward for giving or withholding.
A vote at the election which I was elected.
A vote election which I was elected.
So help me God. So. Congratulations, welcome, sir. I will open the floor for nominations for the office of president. Any nominations?
Madam President, I will nominate Beatrice Evans for president for the 2021 school year.
Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other? At this time, nominations are closed. We have a motion for nomination for president for Petra Evans. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
This is yours now.
I can't hit her from here. At this time, I will open the nominations for the office of vice president.
Madam President, I will be nominating Christy Boyd for vice president for the 2021-2022 school year.
Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Have a motion by Ms. Malik to nominate Christy Lloyd for the office of vice president. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Madam Vice President. And we have the appointments for our office of executive secretary, Mr. Williams, assistant secretary, Ms. Judy. No vote is taken. That's your vote.
You've been appointed.
You have been appointed. So we've got a list of the dates and locations for the ensuing year. I entertain a motion.
Madam President, I make a motion for the places and dates for our upcoming school year board meetings as submitted by the administration.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor Klein, for our meeting dates and locations for the upcoming school year. If any questions or comments? Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries for meeting dates and locations for assuming school year. So do we have any volunteers for board committee appointments? Representative for DSBA board of directors?
Is that something you want to do, Mr. President, or is the time important for you?
If it's more than another night out, probably not. When is it usually you know what the night of the week
is? Wednesday night. First Wednesday night, and then I think legislative is the second Wednesday.
If somebody can do it, I'll be the alternate.
I can do it for you.
Okay. Thank you. The next one is legislative committee.
You will stay on Christmas.
I mean, somebody else is doing this one. You want to be the name of the alternate?
Yeah.
Financial advisory.
I've participated in that the last couple of years, I'm fine, so.
Understand?
Okay.
Chair, teacher of the year. Think about it. Educational support professional.
I kind of like that.
Okay. Agricultural? Okay. And BPA? I've done that one. Okay. That was pretty easy. Thanks all for volunteering. And it takes us down to We can go back to work session. I just need a little bit more time on the calendar. Okay.
All right, so the superintendent's report this evening. We have our annual retreat coming up on the 15th, so that's next Thursday. And we'll be gathering actually right here. We call it retreat, but it's a get together for all of us to debrief from the year just ended, prep for the year coming up. And then there will also be a team building activity so we reconnect with one another and get ready for the 21-22 academic. So we'll give you a report on that in August. Negotiations update, we wanted to share that we came to a tentative agreement on a 3-year collective bargaining agreement. The DSEA and SEA need to ratify that. My understanding is that's in the works. Approximately 1 week during which members will vote, hopefully to ratify the collective bargaining agreement, which we then can present at the August board meeting for board president's signature and SEA president's signature, giving us a very fair labor agreement for the next 3 years. We're very excited about that. Very smoothly, all of the negotiating team members work well together. A special thanks to Bill Hoffman and Frank Strasser, who led collective bargaining unit, all of their teammates. And a special thanks to our working team here at the district office with representation from a few schools. It was an enjoyable process, if that can be said. And we came to a very, very positive resolution. So we're excited to present that to you on the eve of the school year. Once it's ratified, put before each of you a one pager and then a much longer 12 pager, both of which are provided by Secretary Bunting. These documents comprise the state guidance for both summer and fall 2021. It was a governor's office fall last week. Participants included all of the superintendents and charter directors with representatives from the governor's office, DPH, and DEMA. And of course, the number one topic was the expiring state of emergency in 6 days, July 13th. And with it expires all of the mandates regarding the pandemic precautions instituted beginning March 13th, 2020. In its place, the state has provided ongoing guidance for districts to consider. And so essentially, a lot of the information you see in front of you, including on the one pager, the word shall will be replaced with should, must replaced with may. So ultimately, at this point, with the expiration of the state of emergency, the governor has no authority to determine protocols for the summer learning academies, summer programming and athletics, and then of course, all eyes turn to the fall. And the students and staff return in force for us shortly after. So that means it falls to local boards. You'll see in the agenda this evening, there's a recommendation for you, a The guidance is here in front of you if you'd like to take a look at it. Again, the one pager cuts to the chase, and most of it we operationally have instituted for approximately a year and a half. It's just now there's a lot more flexibility, and of course everything we see in here recommends that those who have not received the full dose of the vaccine continue with social distancing of at least 3 feet and face masks in the summer and into the fall. So this is sort of a companion set of documents to accompany the recommendation that will be before you in the evening for your consideration. Finally, on very positive note, with some degree of normalcy, the planning for 2021-22, of course, has been ongoing and continuing throughout the summer. It's been working with Mr. Holt and Mrs. Call, Kristen Call. We've made the decision because we still don't know what mass gatherings will be allowed or disallowed, or encouraged or discouraged with school opens in the fall. So we are planning on having school-specific breakfast celebrations so the staff can gather with the building administrator and celebrate the return to school. We thought it would still be dicey, given where we are as a state, to have everyone in the cafeteria at the high school, obviously well over 1,000 people. Might not be a wise idea in this room. We're hoping that providing a site-based celebration, and that many of us will stop and visit over the course of one of the first days back, will provide much needed respite for staff and also some team to get back and hopefully have what we call a typical school. We're going to have some concerts and activities focusing around the weekend return to school. That will take on a whole new meeting. So more to come on those opportunities as the dates are fleshed out. We're still working with some providers to set those up. And finally, as we all know, we've been advertising for some time, athletics at both the high school, all clubs, extracurricular activities from K to 12 are a full go. Very excited about that and look forward to lots of activities and extracurriculars highlighting our students' talents in the months and the year. And that concludes the superintendent's report.
Human resources, Ms. Judy.
Thank you. So, although we just got a COVID update, I don't have much to say, which is awesome. But we did start the services academy for our little guys and our bigger guys this week at Smyrna Elementary and Smyrna Middle, and we do have nurses on staff at those locations. So if we are confronted with something of a given scenario, then we have our nurses who are skilled and experienced on that basis. So luckily we have them, because if not, it would be me. So grateful for that. So again, thanks nurses for giving up some of your time this summer to really important activities. We just completed the peaceful rollover yesterday, so lots of work on the backside of that, making sure all of our students are accounted for, making sure we have everybody we're supposed to have, where they're supposed to be, and all of our boxes are checked and traced and all that good stuff. So lots of cleanup right now. Crystal Sweeney is our new woman in charge. She's doing an awesome job. She takes full ownership. She's just like plugging away, learning lots. And so we're really happy to have her. Hiring season is shortly upon us. Currently, I'm still filling roles of individuals who are retiring or moving on from us, and their new units haven't been posted yet. We are going to post some wraparound learning coaches, so coaches that are going to work all specifically with the Boys and Girls Club. Those are not full-time positions, they're actually positions that are specific to just this year's wraparound program. But the update on the wraparound is we collected applications with Boys and Girls Club at all of our schools, and at satellite site at JVM on multiple days, certain Thursdays and Fridays. And they were there all day last Friday on the last day for application now on that bunch of course we're always going to accommodate our kids and our families and try to get them into the program. But they had about 300 students apply for the program. So we're looking at creating a smart MOU with Boys and Girls Club to get that off the ground. And the eight wraparound teacher units or the student units will work with some daycares in the community as well as the club that is near central office and also the club center. So that's where the learning loss commission will be making sure that the staff is able to join. Anybody? All four teachers.
Okay, that's what I wasn't sure if it was outside or just.
No, just our teachers.
Okay, absolutely.
And that's really it because I've only just seen a few weeks. So.
Thank you. Mr. Holt, operations.
Okay, this was Judy first. So it's more or less kind of an update on things that I mentioned last month. Our summer cleaning has initiated. We do have staff in the building and students this summer, so we are continuing to work on that enhanced preventative maintenance and cleaning of our HVAC systems to make sure that they're operational. As far as our building improvements, we have started on our summer works projects. We've wrapped up that salt storage area over at the Smyrna High School campus. Parking lot LED project that we received grants for has been completed. The parking lot repairs that I mentioned last month that are going to take place on the high school and middle school campus that are made possible by the legislators that actually started on this, so that's good news. We have our summer interns and maintenance and they're working on pressure washing sidewalks, bleachers, and we're working on some of the buildings this summer to clean up foundation. So that's really good. Technology, we're still working on collecting some of the devices that we deployed this school year to support students' connection to instruction. ClassLink is being used for in our summer learning academy. We heard of that last time, a lot of training going on for that. The GoGuardian training, preparation to emerge from the state providing content filtering. Software is ongoing, still in the midst of training for that. In transportation, continue to work with all the administrators to get our kids to summer learning academy and the over summer school tennis, working on getting them here, school back home safely. Child nutrition, the summer food service has officially started. The sites that we're working or that we're serving at Smyrna Middle, Smyrna Elementary, the Kenton Community Center, Olive Hills, and Commerce Square. We're also serving students in school. The Summer Learning Academy, as well as the 12-month program, and working with special services to make sure that we're providing outreach to any families that are in need on Wednesdays, and also assisting with the food pantry to make sure that these any other families are supported as well. School climate and safety, they're continuing to work on the panic intrusion system updates. We submitted the application for the COPS grant to upgrade our fire control systems throughout the district. We're also working on connecting with a couple of companies to determine who's going to be the best option for our remote system that we're going to implement this fall. Also working on an SEL calendar for the upcoming school year, as well as working on safety and crisis response plan for the school year, and working on the teacher resource guide.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown.
Curriculum. So we received notification that we were approved from our RPL grant from DOE, and that is going to allow us at the secondary level work with the new teacher project. And at the K-6 level, the American Reading Company for Leadership Coaching So coaches will be working with our admin team so that as our students enter back into school and transition back, that we are using our high quality instructional material in appropriate ways to serve our students' needs and get the most learning. We also received our approval for our opportunity grant that allows us to continue with some current programs as well as some new ones. We will be working with the University of Delaware and their residency program. Meaning we will have up to 10 student teachers doing a year-long residency with us. And as part of their student teaching, they'll complete their student teaching requirement, but then as part of the residency, they'll also have opportunities to work with some of our at-risk students, small groups, our EL specialists, our reading specialists, and get the experience that way as well. We are looking at refining our blended learning practices as we transition to our one-to-one. And it also will include more students when we are able to go back to our summer camps next summer. It will provide scholarships for that. Our summer school starts next week, and we have about 150 students. Our bookmobile kicked off at the 4th of July parade. And we have finished our work with the secondary grading committee. And I asked Mr. Buchanan and Mr. Marston to come tonight because we are requesting some updates to policy tonight. And Mr. Marston led our charge on standards-based report card for this year, and Mr. Buchanan led the charge on our secondary grading. So I would like him to take the next few minutes to share with you what our advisory council found, and here are his reports. So, Mr. Buchanan.
Hi, everyone. So what you're receiving is kind of a long version that hopefully thoroughly explains what we've done, but I'm going to kind of take you through it just so that when you have time to look at it, it'll make more sense about this context. So our secondary grading advisory council is something that started in February, actually. We sent out an email to the entire staff and asked for applications. We received quite a few, but we ended up with 16 members of teachers and admins from both middle school and high school. We had our initial meeting in March where we kind of set our mission and vision, which you can kind of see on the first page there. And then through April and May, we did three book studies where we looked at On Your Mark by Thomas Sesky, and you all received a copy. And through that, we actually accomplished our mission, I would say, which, as you can see here, it says we will utilize educational research, resources and research, our professional experiences and deliberations and discussion amongst ourselves to help develop district-aligned expectations. And then ultimately, our vision is to make these recommendations that you are receiving today. So that all culminated in June 22nd and 23rd after the school year, for what we call the two-day intensive. We try to attack our short-term goal, which is on page two. We do have long-term goals, which we see going forward, and I spoke to the advisory council, and we are going to continue our work and just monitor the success of our recommendations and continue. So that's kind of the summary of our work, and then starting on page three, I'll kind of walk you through what the recommendations of the committee were. That's okay. The first thing we knew is, in order for us to be clear about what we wanted to do, we had to be clear about what grading was for. And so really quickly, we started establishing these, and then we broke them down. Our purpose of grading should be to measure student understanding and progress towards specific standards and goals. We didn't want work ethic, effort, doing the game of school to be part of their grade. We want what they know, what their grade to reflect what they know, so we can act on it. So whether or not they turn the homework in or participate, we want to kind of pull that stuff out of the grade and just make it about the learning. Our grade books, however, was still one of the communication devices between the teachers and the students and the parents, as well as others that just communicate student progress in that marking period. Report cards would be a summary of their level of achievement for that marking period. And then we went as far as transcripts, where we believe that summarizes the overall academic history. And that's for secondary and post-secondary placements. So we established those, and that'll make sense as to why we made some of the choices we made. So the first thing we did confront, and it's the biggest one that's out there right now in education, is the failings of the 100-point scale. The 100-point scale was never made to measure student achievement. It's inaccurate, imprecise. It's really hard. You know, as an English teacher for 15 years, I gave you an 87 on an essay. You said, why is it 87 and not 86? Being that fine is hard, which is why it just doesn't work. It's also why there's 60 ways to fail and only 40 ways to pass. So it's just a broken scale for education. And that's a lot of what we read and studied. Through that, we decided to adopt a 4-point scale. Should be very familiar with everyone, an ABCDF scale, even in the actual grade book. Rather than you getting a zero, it just says F. So there aren't levels of failure, levels, just yet a designation. So that was a big hurdle for us, but I think actually a very, I don't know, it felt good. Everyone was on the page, and like, this seems like the right way. And that really got us going and gave us great momentum. Sorry, I'm looking at David Stacy, if you were there. It was a really great experience. I just have to tell you, those teachers were really committed and driven. And I was very impressed the way they were. So moving on, the next thing that we talked about was, if that's what we're doing, we need to have set weights across the district, across the grades, across the contents. And so we came up with these and played with the math and tried to figure everything out. But ultimately, we've come down to three different categories. The first one is preparation learning. These are little assignments. We wouldn't call them, you know, minimal, but they're the warm-ups, the check-ins, an exit ticket, just maybe a journal check, like little things that teachers do to monitor. But they don't really tell us a lot about what a student has mastered. It's kind of a preparation. The next one is practices. This is skills, right? So if you're doing a worksheet or answering questions about a story, the actual practices of learning fall under that practices of learning, and that would get away to 3. And the final is the products of learning, which we get away to 5. This is what you would know as assessments. A big test, an essay, a lab, any of those would be weighted 5. So again, assessments are 5, practices 3, and just prep is 1. And so that would balance out the schools. That all makes sense? All right, so with that, the next thing we wanted to tackle was, what do we do with late work? Late work is a big issue. There's inconsistencies. The teachers really said we want clarity. And we did ask all the staff for some of the things they wanted to tackle. So when it came to late work, the first thing we said, the preparation of learning assignments, that little check-in. By the way, I should say this. If you were absent, you can make that up. That's not what we're talking about. If you were there and didn't do it, late work, you cannot make up a preparation for learning assignment. It was 1-point assignments. However, the practices of learning, you can make up any time up until the assessment on which those skills are tested, and you get additional credit. It's not points off, it's not anything. You can demonstrate your learning, you can demonstrate your learning. Last Monday or this Monday, if you know it, you want to get credit. And the same goes for products learning. Any assessment you can make up any time throughout a marking period, and if it occurs late in the marking period, you can go to the interim of the following marking period. If you miss it, you can make it up at any time. Those aren't, you miss it, you don't get it up. You want it. Because if someone doesn't do it, we have no idea if they can do it. So we really want to know. If we're genuine about our purpose of grades is to know what students know, they have to do the assignment. So we want them to do it. So that was a universal thought. So another one that kind of goes under that is corrections and retakes. So these are for assessments only, the big 5-point assignments. If you take a test and you don't do well, or if you do well, anything less than an A, you would be given the options on all 5 point assignments to do corrections. So if you did an essay, you get to do a rewrite. If you did a test, you get to make up the problems you missed. And we talk about all every time you get an opportunity. And if you complete it to the satisfaction of the teacher, you would increase by one letter. That would be done kind of as an assignment, as an opportunity for all students. In some cases, when it is possible, it won't always be possible. If there's a chance to give you a new assignment, so if I gave you a test and I have another test testing the same skills, I can give a retake. And a retake is completely new. This is the only thing we did say is this will be done outside of the class. This won't be done during class time. But if you want to do a retake as a student, you can stay after, you can come early, work it out with the teacher, you can go to the library and do it. You will get the higher of the two grades. There's no averaging, anything like that. So if you just have a bad day, bottom of the test, and there's a retake, and you get a B, you get a B. So that was a big point for us. So the next page, notation for missing assignments. As we said, the grade book is a communication with parents. We were happy to put, use the letter grades to communicate how students did. But if they didn't turn it in, we don't want to put an F, because that doesn't communicate as much as not handing in. So we're going to use the NHI designation for students who are not handing in work. So that as a parent, you can look on, yes, you did poorly. You didn't hand it in, and then did poorly at the test. I think I know why. So we're trying to be communicative through that NHI designation. All right, so while we were doing this, a lot of practices that are common in education stood out to us as, well, we cannot do these anymore. This is truly our purpose, reflects student learning. The first is using grades for compliance, reward, or punishment. These aren't uncommon things. Again, you see them all over, bringing them, we need wet wipes for our class. We are all out of hand sanitizer, bringing some hand sanitizer, our 85 points extra credit. That does not work. We have plenty of hand sanitizer.
Wet wipes.
I see boxes everywhere. But even well-intentioned things, participating in the food drive, go to the school play, these are all they're trying to motivate. Or if you don't use your bathroom pass, you can keep those two and they'll get extra credit. Like all those kinds of things that are spotty here now, we really wanted to just say that can't be done. Likewise, completion grades, and this isn't a secret, sometimes teachers go, well, we did all the questions, 10 out of 10. They don't read it, they don't get it back, there's no, that just can't be a practice, and we wanted to have it in writing that doesn't accomplish what we want. Again, I'm not gonna go through each one. Extra credit, grading on a curve, that's if everyone doesn't do well, so you just bump everybody up, so that someone gets the A and it balances out, doesn't reflect actual learning, so that has to be wiped out. And the last one is academic dishonesty. Our policy said, if you cheat or you copy, you get a zero, and then there's punitive, consequences as well. But a zero doesn't reflect what they can do, so we kind of just said, yes, they're still punitive, we'll still go through the actions, the steps to remedy and talk about the cause of why they did it and make sure it doesn't happen again. But we will let them retake the assignment. Okay. All right, so the last thing I have on here is that, so we did our best to take a lot of that work ethic completion out. So we wanted to still have that as a communication piece to our parents. So what we decided is on the report card, teachers are allowed 2 comments per student. You can drop 2 comments per grade you get. So at each interim and report card, the first column for every teacher is going to be used to reflect work ethic. So you either get a 3, 2, or 1 in that first column. 3 would be you come arrive prepared, you're participating, and you turn everything in. 2 is you arrive closely engaged, but you have some missing assignments. 1 is you're often disengaged, you don't turn to work, you're not with us all the time. So the reason for that, if you received a C with a 3 that says you're working hard and you earned this, a C or a C with a 1 are two different students. And we just want to be able to communicate. They're working hard, and this is what they earn. Or this is what they earn because they're not working hard. And we believe that as a parent, if you see your child has like an A in this class and a 3 and a C in this class and a 1, that'll give you information about maybe what's going on in that class. So if you see straight ones in the third marking period, you know, at the end, you're like, hey, they're all saying you're not really with them right now. What's going on? So we think that's a good communication. So the final thing we did do and we continue to work on is work on professional development. As we know, these are some big changes that we are suggesting. We think the teachers feel very confident that they're going to be well embraced, but we need to have our teachers understand the why and the hows. So the first thing we're going to start with is an asynchronous. We're going to send out a letter and we're going to make a video that they can watch that will explain it to them, followed by a face-to-face when they get back in August, and then support the PLC. So we've got a plan to roll it out to them. Likewise, the group has already started on information for parents and students. So that's a lot of information, and it was a lot of work. But again, I just can't tell you how great the teachers and the admins were. And thank you. Any questions?
So a couple of years ago, we switched the grading system in the points, primarily due to scholarship issues.
Right.
How does this reflect that? Like, or how does that balance that out? How do you work it? It's just an A.
Is the course still
going to
be weighted?
Yeah.
Courses are still weighted for honors to be.
Okay, so it'll still show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they get an A in an AP course, it could be 4.2.
Yeah,
right. Or 4.5,
whatever
they do.
Yeah.
The 4.0 behind the system in eSchool is what will determine the average.
And one of the things that I know that they discussed was that if your kid doesn't do something, then you become a zero. And it takes 6 or 8 assignments for them to even partially recover. So you may not even have 6 or 8 assignments in a month that they could do well enough to make up for the 0 that they received for not doing something. So, you know, that's again the idea that you have 60 ways to fail. So there's a lot of conversation. I heard some of it. I wasn't intimately involved, but I did. I think it's moving us in the direction that the standards-based report card is moving us at the K to 6 level that we need to have at the middle and high school level for a lot of arbitrary
grade. Like the focus is on what the student knows. That's really key. You touched on the effort, and that's important, but what they know is.
And that is the hope. Ultimately, you know, right now, we want it to be about the learning. We don't want to look what we call point chasing. You know, end of the learning period, I had 88, what do I need to get a 90? It's like, well, I only have this, what do I need to know to, what do I need to know to get there? Like, that's the mind shift we're going for. We're not getting that through this alone. That's our ultimate goal, is to make not only our teachers care, we're not talking about points the kids aren't talking about. So we're talking about what do I need to know to understand this material.
And this will be for, you said secondary, so it's middle school and
yeah.
High school. And then it does line them up for college because they're on the 4.0 scale for that. If they pursue college.
It's going to be an ongoing conversation as things unfold, as teachers have questions, as same scenarios and situations come up.
That's why we're continuing.
Yeah.
We figure out ourselves. I mean, we understand that it's a process. We feel fairly confident that we base this not in our feelings, but in research and best practice. That's not always, theory doesn't always translate to practice, but
feel like if we're in the research, we can handle any of the adjustments we need to make.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, are you next?
He was not here.
I'll wrap it up.
Oh, okay.
I'll tie it together and wrap it up.
You go right ahead.
All right. Well, again, it was mentioned too. I know also in your packs tonight you're going to discuss Policy 6110. Rating policy and 6115 coercion detention. And that really is the culmination of both the secondary work and K-5 standards base, because there were items listed in both policies that simply are not practicing. There was a program specific language in there in some cases that, as you know, programs are not programs. I think rating policy was last touched 2 years ago, and promotion detention acceleration was last touched 7 years ago. So, as you pour over that, we did our very best to follow the strike through bold italic. It was a great exercise. It was a chore. It was a great exercise, however, and obviously tonight we will put that first reading and back and talk about that. Standards based rating, again, all systems go. We are having all principals, all administrators, all building administrators, and supervisors and directors tomorrow to cover the big ticket items for 21-22. And really the theme of the day is going to be about the struggles to take some time to change practice. This really goes right hand in hand with that. This whole mission about HGYN and really changing that mindset goes hand in hand with how teachers rating. In fact, we've talked in our house a little bit about what the term rating. It's assessing student learning. That'll be a long time to hear that rating. The elementary level indicators of performance. So that one for you and all of us have questions.
Thank you so
much.
Is that all? Thank you. Special service.
So as was mentioned, we started the 12-month summer session. So again, this is the program that for students who qualify to receive summer services based on their disability classifications that lead to this has been a huge undertaking. As you know, I've been talking about this kind of since January, and I was nervous and excited, you know, couldn't sleep the night before, at all bringing the students in on Tuesday. We have really never had this type of event. So although we had summer school years ago, that was prior to us keeping out students. So these students with the most significant needs were elsewhere, really. We started, once we stopped our school, we started sending the students out, as you know, the Capital School District to participate with the Kent County Community School. We are taking lots of notes of all the things we want to improve upon as we move forward, but the greatest thing is everybody is so excited. We have unbelievable staff who have been planning prior to. They're very engaged. Nobody's sitting around. They are really interacting with these students. We are definitely recognizing, because we are at Smyrna Elementary, with the kindergarten through fourth, I talked to you before about that desire and wanting to look at an inclusive playground. It is extremely necessary. Having a student in a wheelchair, having students have a lot of motor difficulties, they are really struggling to get to the playground. Our staff is great, they're figuring it out, it is on my priority list to work through trying to make sure that this happens. I know that's quite a project, and it will take time, but I see how it works. So, come and visit want to. We have them at different sites. Next week, the other kindergarten through third grade through curriculum, they'll be joining us as well. So it will be quite significant. I wanted to talk because I feel like in looking back, I do talk so much about special education, but in special services, about this whole movement of students who are needing. And it really came to light this year. So at the end of the year, anybody who qualifies under completing a note on the side, almost as late, doubled up. We go through these meetings for about 170 students this year. And it is my understanding that meeting after meeting after meeting is just garbage. So these families really brought to light what this pandemic has really done on this student who are our most vulnerable families. There was a lot of conversation about illnesses and deaths and relocations and loss of jobs. And it was just very draining on all the staff who went through these meetings after meetings. And what we do at the meetings is really determine where are you living now, where is best for you to go to your children to go to school next year, if you're finally settled in a place, then it's good for them to go there. If you are still transient, a lot of transient, then it's good to go there. These are different than we also have foster care. We don't fall under the Homes Act. Foster children really struggle this year. They were bounced home. This was challenging because families who are foster parents expect that they will be in school. So they are expecting that, yes, we will take care of these children into our home, but we know the school's taking care of them during the day. And so they really struggle to have these children. And so that's why we have a lot of them. And we did have children down in Harrington, up in Wilmington, some Seaford, and every week we were just having to keep up. And that is where that food was going to, because it did not matter where they were from the time we shut down in March to still going on now, we made these food deliveries happen. And the child nutrition has been great. They have all these bags. Camden, Griffiths, and Jen Beamer go pick them up, and then we add to it. We see what they need. You know, there's paper towels or disinfectant. You think it was hard for you to get it at that one time, right? To these families. They don't even have access to that. So we added things. We added fun stuff too, toys for the children, and the stories were amazing. They talk about home, the children running, waiting. And so right now, Pam and Jen, because they don't actually are not summer employees, but they really, you know, they need that kind of help there too. And so we've had some others who stepped in. They envision what these families were coming through. They work in schools. They see these children. They said until going out to where they live, they just couldn't. We're happy that we have been able to support them and continue to support them. And we do have some other funding trips that we want to make sure that. They also get some. So it's having we're so that regulations allow for them to continue for us to have a center. So I just wanted to make sure that I shared that with you and talk about that group in the district. I'm in a totally different thinking ahead to next year. We have a lot of professional development. We also want to do for our staff. We had a lot of staff. I talked after this lifetime, they come in, they're new. This year, we really just didn't have the opportunity to grab them. So we had a big staff meeting today over at the building and looked at all the different areas that we feel is lacking. One of the areas in particular, we've talked a lot about specialized instruction in special programs. What really does it look like in society? So we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the IEP process. Try to roll it out in a way where it's both the opportunity for them to have the resources for them virtually, but then also to be
Thank you. Yes, that takes us down to retirements. No, we'll do your finance department.
This month we're in the finance department report posted on earlier in the agenda.
Okay.
And next month we'll cover the close out stuff.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That takes us down to number 12. Our retirements. 12.1, we have Mr. Gallagher, 32 years of service, 13 with the Smyrna School District. And we have some recognition for you, Mr. Gallagher.
You can make me get up, aren't you?
You don't have to. Come on. We've been here since I've been here, and it's been great. You know, we both are in the finance world, and you know, I've often called you or emailed you for your opinion and your advice on other things, and dealt with it. You're getting fired. You know, as many times as I wanted to steal you myself and take you to work with me, but we wish you well. We love you in retirement. And we wish you. We wish you. Thank you.
Jenny is that finance person, ever since I've known him, who can balance out the very dry Excel spreadsheet with all of the formulas with a healthy appreciation for what occurs in the classroom and all of the support pieces that make what goes in the classroom work. And that's a difficult person to replace. We have found someone who seems to have that same balance, that same love of children. And I'll close with this. Jerry has often said, when he sits at the table with us, two refrains. First of all, we know this one. How does it affect Jerry? But second, he would often say, I'm not an educator. But I think after 13 years of working with Jerry Gallagher, he does pass the muster. He is an educator, and everything he does has been to support children. So,
you got an old saying they used to say, somebody can make a dollar out of 50 cents.
Why I had to do that because you guys kept spending every dollar on the
Miss Valley, did you have anything to say?
I've known Jerry for very long time. Well before he came to work with us, our boys with this opportunity. So I'm not proud. Best of luck to you. Thank you for everything you've done for us, for any of our children. We've always had the best heart.
Thank you. saying it yourself.
That's a promise. I don't know if I'll answer it, but I will.
Thank you.
You know, it's an honor and a privilege to actually be able to work in the district where you live, you know, educating your own children. And I think what I've witnessed in the 13 years that I've been here has been tremendous. And I don't see anything but more positive moving. You built a tremendous team. Like you say, watch out. I can't wait to see what the next 13 years brings to the district.
Thank you. We also tonight have two other retirees that are not with us, and that is Susan Gilmore. She's been with us since 1985. 35 years, and this one is Kathy Kolovic, and she has been with us for 19 years. And best of luck to both of them on their retirement. Okay, that takes us to 13.1. Approval of our minutes from our June 16th, 2021 meeting.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 13.1, board minutes from June 16, 2021 meeting, as submitted by the administration.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor Clement, to approve 13.1, approval of board meeting minutes from June 16, 2021. Are there any questions or comments? Questions and comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Madam President, I will abstain.
Okay. Motion carried. That takes us to 13.2, approval of our monthly financial reports.
So what you have today, for tonight's meeting, was the child nutrition financial statements. We'll incorporate those into our overall monthly report.
Thank you.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 13.2, right? Or wait, for me? Yeah, what you submitted? Yeah, just for you. Okay. All right. So, we need a motion for that?
Motion to
motion
table.
Yeah. Motion to defer, right? Okay. Madam President, I make a motion to defer item
13.2
to next month's meeting.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Dr. Wilson, to defer our financial reports until all speaking. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And takes us to 13.3, school choice for 2021-2022 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. 11 school choice applications for inter-district transfer and 10 choice applications for intra-district transfer. No inter-district school choice terminations and no intra-district school choice terminations. Zero denied forms for the 2021-2022 school. And this recommendation, it is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students want 11, intra-district students want 10, and no terminations in any other choices.
Madam President, I make a motion to accept the school choice 2021-22 school year, the intra, the inter as submitted.
Second. I have a motion by Pastor Khan, second by Mrs. Mallett to approve the school choice for 2021-22 school year as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. 13.4, Union Internet Board Policy 6150, second reading, revision.
Okay, the policy 6150 remains in place. This is unchanged from last time, the only thing we did on the final page, page 8, was added were attachments, and under that, the Smyrna School District student parent slash guardian Chromebook user agreement. We made reference to that as we discussed in the last meeting. And we also provided that attachment, which is the user agreement that opens and outlines exactly what the parents and students are responsible for, discusses our insurance, as well as provides a signature page for the students to accept and acknowledge the students.
President, I make a motion to approve item 13.4, computing and internet board policy 6150, second reading revision as submitted by the administration.
Second. I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor McClonick to policy 6150, second reading revision as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor? Motion carried. It takes us to 13.5, graded policy 6110, first reading, revision.
So we would like to propose revisions to policy 6110 as we discussed both at our K to 5 and our 6 to 12 level. We are making changes with both the standards based report card and the grading we should it. Currently is. So we have highlighted in red the changes, and a few items did get struck out. For example, in the general guidelines, we don't want the effort or behavior to be a part of the grade, so we did remove that. In item number 4, we discussed that our K to 5 students will, our K to 6 students will be on trimesters. And 7 to 12 will remain on marking periods and quarters. We talked about mid-marking period reports. K to 5, it will be very specific progress indicators based on their academic programming. 6 to 12 will be the more traditional interim with a grade reflection. In number 10, the grading scale, rather than having the plus and minuses, it was the recommendation of the committee to have the 5, A, B, C, D, F. On the next page, kindergarten is not separated now. It is in the K to 5 standards-based report card. The new gradations are emerging, progressing, meets with distinction. Writing, grammar, and science aren't given that grade, so it is listed that report cards will be given electronically, which has been the practice for the past 2 years, so we were updating that in policy. Conferences are held throughout the year. The middle school, there was outdated information of how their core subjects versus electives were factored. I don't think that was even in practice. And again, that goes to the practice of the ABCDF with the multipliers of preparation for learning, practices of learning, products of learning. Added number 3 at the end of the marking period, student scores will be calculated in eSchool. And there is the 3.5 to 4.0 conversions to the ABCDF, requiring us to renumber 4 and 5. Colleges report on a 4.0 scale, and so the conversion is listed there. Number 7. We added the late work policy that Mr. Buchanan discussed, practices and products of learning, included in that on the next page. And then 9, we talked about the Summer Learning Academy. Any questions or comments?
Summer Learning Academy is on.
No, it is the 0.65 to the 0.99. So in our committee, there was some concern of students who were not participating at all and how they could just go to summer school. So there was some effort, and we have an OR in there, and I'm looking to update that next month because the e-school averaging behind is, I want to make sure that works out. But it was, there had been some effort in the year, some effort and evidence of learning for the student so that they weren't progressing in all the injury.
Madam President, I move that we accept the first reading of Board Policy 6110, grading policy as submitted by administration.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, second by Dr. Wilson, to approve policy 6110, revision as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Have the same motion? Hearing none, motion carries. Takes us to 13.6.
As Mr. Marston stated earlier, this policy required some update. In our current practices, it now says marking period or trimester based on what the student's grade level is. Some vocabulary correction in number 6. That would be our English language students and our English language teacher. Our acronyms were outdated. In number 7, the comprehensive attendance procedure number was incorrect. Number 8 was based on when students were held accountable to state testing in order to pass. That is no longer a practice, so we took that off. Family vacations as an exemption from from state testing, again, it wasn't appropriate here. We had a policy of kindergarten retention and then first through fourth. We have replaced that with a paragraph of promotion retention grades kindergarten through 5, explaining that the fundamental purpose of our standards-based grading is to compare their performance to establish levels of proficiency and knowledge, understanding, and skills. The intent is to evaluate student work in relation to pre-established standards. The promotion of each student will be determined individually, and is the decision to promote the student is made on the basis of multiple factors, including progress towards meeting reading, math standards, social studies, social and emotional development, and school attendance. When a recommendation for retention is made by the school or the family, a best interest meeting, including parents or guardians, school administration, teachers, and counselors would be conducted. We did update our acceleration policy. Again, it was very specific to some testing, and we put the case study team as the priority there. So taking out the specifics in reading and math that we had previously had. Retention, instead of 5 to 8, it is 6 to 8. And again, there is the summer school line. In the previous document, students will receive a maximum of D if they complete summer school successfully. And that was a recommendation of our grading committee. Acceleration, we changed that from 5th grade to 6th grade. And the other information
beginning with the class of 2019, it is now listed as D to A and F rather than the percentage. Questions or comments?
Madam President, I move that we approve the first reading revision of Board Policy 6115 regarding promotion, tenure, celebration, and graduation as presented.
Second.
I have a motion by Dr. Wilson and a second by Ms. Lloyd to Policy 6115 first reading as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us down to 13.7, 2022 recommended tax rate.
So what you have in your packet is a revision of the information I'll share with you in June meeting, the memo and the supporting documents, and the straight through the bold and the minority changes have occurred. Basically, in the tax rate area, tax rates are the same since June. There's been a slight change in the mix for the match taxes. Student services, block grant, business engineer, made by the state. They now have a mental health and reading support program, somewhat replacing, but there's some match that's required there. So we're able to change the match for extra time to 100% of the allowable match. With a math specialist and reading specialist, so about 50%, just a little over 50%. That will likely turn out to technology and MCI are matched required 100%. And mental health and reading support amount is 20,000 compared to student services offering, which was meant to be 51%. And the opportunity fund did come through an entire amount, so we find. So again, both rates for campaign and also kind of remain the same as presented in June. Small changes are just how we are.
Fiscal year 2022 recommended tax rates as presented.
Second. I have a motion by Pastor Kleinman, second by Ms. Malik to approve the fiscal year 2022 recommended tax rate as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Fiscal year 2022 recommended preliminary budget.
Again, the package is presented such that you can tell the difference between what we discussed in June and here the final legislature operating budget. You see the slight decrease from 66.49 to 66.1. Those changes are a result of student services offering being eliminated on the state side under the law of match. That particular area. But we also have resulted in here require a reduction in state funding. We discussed taking vocational dollars fully out of the state, but then supporting the program through local dollars. And we also talked about eliminating state out for Dr. Zed and to always supporting that with local executives, local programs, and flexibility. So those are key areas. And changing the state operating revenues here on page one. The documents that are here supporting those highlighted and underlined pages 2 and 3. And as you move through the package, the actual revenue and expense sources, that information so that the board can take a look and see clearly. Quickly, difference between the FY22 final and where we were in FY21. So we have the FY21 final, we'll discuss in June, this is the FY22 preliminary, or the preliminary final, so October and November, and what the difference in percentage change
I have a motion by Dr. Wilson, second by Ms. Malik, to the recommended fiscal year 2022 preliminary recommended budget as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us down to 13.9, 12-month employee calendar, 2021 school year, first reading revision.
Yes, Madam President, since initially approved the state, now the federal government have declared Juneteenth holiday, so this calendar highlights that change in consideration.
Madam President, I'm making a motion to approve item 13.9, 12-month employee calendar, first reading revision for the school year 2021-2022 as submitted by the administration.
I have a motion by Ms. Floyd, second by Dr. Wilson, to the 12-month employee calendar, first reading revision for 2021-20 school year, to school year as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion carried. Takes us down to 13.10.
Similar to last year, the General Assembly included language in the FY22 operating bill that will allow Department of Education to access the balances for 2 days. We have probably around 2 dozen employees here at the district, probably 8 or 10 of them within a day or two, maybe a few more than that. Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 13.10, approval of excess accrued leave as submitted by the administration.
I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd, second by Pastor Kleiman, to approve 13.10, approval of excess accrued leave as submitted. Any questions or comments? All in favor? All opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. 13.11, school year calendar for 2022 school year revision.
Madam President, Mrs. Holtz is going to present the specifics to you, but again, since we approved this calendar submitted in April, the General Assembly passed HB Bill House Bill 163, then signed by the governor into law, which formally and legally recognizes a host of religious holidays for which students would be excused from school. In light of that, consideration of what that means to our families, our upcoming school year had initially slated September 7th, Tuesday, for the opening day of school for students, and that is the first full day of Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year. So again, in light of and in celebration of the signing of HB 163 into law, I ask Mrs. Holmes to take a look at the calendar, recommend a revision that would not impact fully stipulated 188, 185 days for 10-month staffs, teachers and parents respectively. And also, since we already cumber more than enough hours for our students, would not impact the length of their instruction. So with all of that said, we're very pleased to present to you a revised calendar.
What we are proposing for your approval is Tuesday, September 7th, instead of being the first day of school, would be a staff professional development day. Wednesday, September 8th, would then be our first day of school for our paid attend students. Thursday, September 9th,
first day of school for our students in 11.
Madam President, I move that we accept the advisory provision for the school calendar 2021-2022 school year as submitted.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, second by Dr. Wilson, calendar 2021-2022 school year revision as submitted. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion carried. 13.12, updated face covering guidance, summer fall 2021.
Madam President, would you like me to read that? So, as I mentioned at the outset, during the work session today, we received guidance from the state. By the state, I mean collaborative effort from the governor's office, DPH, and the Department of Education. And at this point, based on the state of emergency expiring on July 13th, given that the state of Delaware has reached its goal of vaccinating 70% of the population with at least one dose of vaccine. Given that families are now able to make choices for themselves and their children regarding face coverings in all facets of society, it's the recommendation of the Smyrna School District Administration to adopt the following position regarding face coverings beginning July 14, 2021, barring any state regulations or governor declared orders to the contrary. And the position reads, the CDC and DPH recommend the continued wearing of face coverings when students are present inside schools and offices once the governor declares state of emergency expires on July 13th. Therefore, all staff and students who have not received the full dose of COVID vaccine are strongly encouraged to wear face coverings to mitigate the risk of contracting the virus and facing extended quarantining as mandated by the state.
That before we receive the information. Madam President, I move that we approve the updated face covering guidance for summer and fall 2021 as presented.
Second. I have a motion by Dr. Wilson, second by Ms. Malik, to approve the updated face covering guidance for summer and fall 2021 as submitted. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah. So, what are we saying? So it's only strongly encouraged. So if, are we saying that you can come with it? It's parents' choice.
Yes.
Okay. I just
want to
make sure.
Strongly encouraged.
Strongly encouraged. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
Absolutely. Not required. Not
I don't want to go backwards.
No. We are trying to replicate the language that has been out there now for several months. And asking staff and student families to make decisions that work for them and that are best for their circumstances. And we replicate the same language that is strongly recommended for those who have not received both doses. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say both doses. The full dose of COVID.
And we do accept even, so I guess it really doesn't matter, but a religious exemption for those who have not, do not get vaccinated. So we do accept
strong recommendation.
We just keep right. Don't buy into personal choices.
And it's not a required immunization from the state of Delaware.
Right, okay.
And that would be the religious.
Right, and then the language that we put in here in this document, barring any state regulations, or governor, it has been explained to us that should the Delta variant and or other data show dramatic uptick, that the governor reserves the right to reinstate the state emergency, which is a game changer. But barring that, hopefully families will continue to make good, sound decisions that work for them. Beginning the 14th.
Keeping in mind that this doesn't change the recommendations of quarantine and such by public health. So
is it still 10 days?
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah. 7 to 10 testing, et cetera. But
you know, we have no control over that. So that is just, we need that to be known that that is not under our control. That is a public health determinant, determination based on the situation and circumstances. But our strong recommendation is you do what you need to, depending on which group you are in, the immunized and not immunized. And we strongly recommend that you make the best decision.
All for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Takes us to personnel.
Okay.
Moving on to personnel. Madam President, I move that we accept personnel. 14.1 retirements A, 14.2 resignations A, B, 14.3 leave absence A, 14.4 reappointment, reassignment, or transfer, 14.5 A through hires, 14.6 fall pay coaches for the 2021-2022 school year, volunteer coaches for the 2021-2022 school year, and staffing for the revised Summer Learning Academy 2021 summer
education. Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, second by Pastor Simon, to personnel 14.1 through 14.8 as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed have the same right? Hearing none, motion. Since we started a little earlier than most probably thought we did, can you check to see if we have anyone for public comment? All right, thank you. So that was we'll be going into executive session, and when we come back, there's nothing that we need to vote on or anything. So at this time, I'm clear. No, we will come back out after executive session. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Have a motion by Pastor Klamek, second by Ms. Lloyd, to return to executive session. Thank you.